to chuck it just down there. Yeah, just do that.
Thank you.
Good morning to everybody. Although anybody here is new today, just to let you know that we do not take a collection, but if you do feel overwhelmingly bound to give some a donation, there are boxes at the front and the back of the church. And please do join us afterwards for tea and coffee in the lounge through that door. Just to remind people that today is the last day for nominations for deacons. So if you haven't got the forms in by the end of today, I presume, then it's too late. I have to wait till next year now. Okay. Nathan later is going to be talking about being set free from sin and the consequences of disobedience. And I was trying to find a reading this morning, and it's directed to Psalm 107, which is really a litany of things that are going wrong. People behaving badly and suffering the consequences, but then being delivered by God. I'll not read it all, because it's quite a long psalm, but verses 17 to 22, sort of sum it up. Some became fools through their rebellious ways and suffered affliction because of their iniquities. They loathed all food and drew near the gates of death. Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them from their distress. He sent forth his word and healed them. He rescued them from the grave. Let them give thanks to the Lord for his unfailing love and his wonderful deeds for men. And that is the same phrase that happens after each of these instances of people going wrong. So let us pray. Lord, we thank you for the pleasure and the privilege of meeting together today to praise and worship you, Lord. We thank you for all that you have done in our lives, and we apologize for falling short at times, Lord. We know that you are Lord of all, and we thank you from the bottom of our hearts, Lord. Amen. So we are going to move into a time of praise and worship. Please stand if you can, or if you're more comfortable sitting, please sit. I'm sitting.
Increase thanks to the Lord, our God and King. His love endures forever, for He's good, He's above all things. His love endures forever. Sing praise with a mighty hand and an outstretched soul. His love.
Sing Jesus is King. Wonderful song.
He reigns.
Lord, we thank you for everything, Lord. And we give you our praise and we give you our worship, Lord.
Forever.
Okay. Thank you, Lord. If you'd like to take a seat, we now come to what for some, hopefully, is the highlight of the morning, the birthday box. Do we have any young children in the church today who've had a birthday in the last week? Today, next week? Any week this year? Nope. Right. Okay. Nathan, if you'd like to.
Well, good morning, church.
So good to see each of you here this morning. This is a wonderful day because this is the day that the Lord has made. Amen. And we're here to rejoice and to be glad in this very special, special day. It's special because the Lord has made this day and he's invited us this morning to worship him and to bask in his presence. But it's also a special, special day for a special baby in the house. So I am going to invite baby Tallulah Kate Olive Zingstra to come on up with parents Hilco and Laura and older sister Farah, family who are here. Good to see you, friends. This is a wonderful, wonderful day. It's a special moment, this is, for, of course, baby Tallulah, for the parents, the family, the friends, but also for all of us here this morning as a congregation here at Sittingbourne Baptist Church, as we bear witness and participate in praying for Tallulah and her family. As the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we follow the example of Christ, whereby we pray God's blessing over the child, and we thank God for the safe pregnancy and the delivery into the world. This celebration, however, is not an infant baptism of sort, or is it a public declaration of baby Tallulah's faith, because only Tallulah can make that decision for herself. But rather, we obey the example that Jesus Christ set for us in the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10, verses 13 through to 16, in which people were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. But the disciples, they rebuked him. Can you imagine that? They rebuked the Lord. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. And he said to them, "Let the little children come to me. Let the little children come to me. And do not hinder them. For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." And he took the children in his arms and he blessed them. Now, before we pray God's blessing for baby Tallulah and pray for the parents, I'm now going to read the dedication litany, which will involve some questions both for the parents and also for all of us as the church. So I'm now going to first and foremost address the parents. Laura and Hilco, the Bible lets us know in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 6, that we should train up a child in the way he or she should go. And when he or she is old, they will not depart from it. And in like manner, as the Apostle Paul, in writing to the church in Ephesus, instructed them, that fathers, do not provoke your children to anger, but bring them up in the discipline and the instruction of the Lord. So with that being said, Hilco and Laura, do you commit by God's grace to raise Tallulah Kate Olive Zingstra in the discipline and instruction of the Lord, making every reasonable effort with patience and love to build the word of God, the character of Christ, and the joy of the Lord into Tallulah's life. Amen. Amen. And now a question for the congregation. As the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are all part of the family of God. And as the body of Christ and the local expression of that body here in Sittingbourne, do we commit as a church to surround baby Tallulah, Dad Hilco and Mum Laura, and also older sister Farah, big sister, big duties. Do you commit to keeping the entire family in your prayers? Oh, I think we can do better than that. Come on. Yes, that's better. Amen. I'm now going to take baby Tallulah in my hands. Oh, bless you.
Oh, look at you.
Tallulah, may the Lord bless you and may he keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and may he give you his peace. In the name of the Lord Jesus, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Bless you, Laura. Amen. I'm going to invite some of our deacons to come, if you can come and just pray and lay hands on the parents. We're going to pray for the parents and for big sister. If our deacons can join me, we're going to pray for the parents because we know that we're living in challenging times and it's not easy to raise children in this generation. But through the help of the Lord is going to protect and guide the parents and big sister as they provide wisdom and the instruction of the Lord to baby Tallulah. So let's all pray for the parents now. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, we come to you, thanking you for the safe pregnancy and delivery of baby Tallulah. We thank you that she is born into this world to a loving family. Mum and Dad and big sister who love and cherish baby Tallulah. And they have committed to come alongside Tallulah each and every day to provide for her needs, to be there, to be that listening ear, to protect her and to guide her throughout the course of her life. And we thank you for them. And we pray that you would just wrap your loving arms around the parents now, that you would give them everything that they need in order to bring up baby Tallulah as she matriculates through life, through the years of school, and whatever, Lord, you have in store for Tallulah in the future. We know that her future is bright because of this day that she's been committed to you. So, Father, we thank you now. And may your hand of provision, may your hand of protection be upon the entire family now. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Let's put our hands together for baby Tallulah. Thank you all. God bless you. Thank you so much. Ian, back over to you. God bless you.
Where we can release the young people and children to go to their classes. So if you'd like to go, and while they're leaving, and before Jackie comes to lead us in prayers, we'll sing Be Still and Know.
Be still.
I'm behind this, Graham. I need your silence. Most of you will know that I'm quite able to articulate my words to some distance, but I've used the microphone. During this last week, since I was asked would I come to the church this morning to lead in prayer, right. This morning, I came to church having been asked if I would take part in prayer. I am aware of Nathan's strapline to lead us into his sermon today. And it's a song that echoes through the minds of many of us of certain age. However, there are important messages that have been coming to me in the past few days as I am in town, at the food bank, being with friends, meeting socially. There are many people in this world who want to break free. So let us pray. In this world, there is so much that worries us. We have so many messages coming our way through media, through fearing being sidelined and hurt, feeling uncertain. What will tomorrow bring? Stop. Turn to and receive guidance through prayer and through Bible teaching. Help us to make time to just stop and listen in this busy world, this busy rushing world, and hear your word, Lord. We are taught God is in control and has great plans for us all. We need to listen and to trust what God can do for us. We pray for the weather situation around the world and the devastation of homes and lives here in our country and the wider world. We pray for the continuation of the dreadful and nasty situation in the Middle East, the total uncertainty for those people living moment by moment. Please let the awfulness come to an end. Stop. We pray also for other countries around the world where people live fearful lives and want to break free from the devastation and uncertainty. We pray also for Trussell Trust, for the Food Bank and other organisations who work so hard to support people in real need in our country. We pray for the Ukraine as we will be sending our shoeboxes to try to provide care and hope for the people in the Ukraine in their ongoing onslaught. We pray for the leadership within so many countries that honesty and care will come before greed and self-serving untruths. Breaking free is what they need. We also pray for our children and families that they will come to know the freedom in Christ. It's not just the right to do just what we want, but to respond to the guidance we have through the Bible, through the teaching, reflecting, prayer, study, listening, and being together in the strength that coming together will bring into this world. And freedom will be ours. I pray this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. So before Nathan comes to speak to us, we'll just return to song once more. Purify my heart.
Purify my heart, let me be as pure. choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. You refine my heart, cleanse me from
Please do take your seats in the presence of the Lord, and thank you to Ian and the worship team for leading us thus far in our worship. And certainly we want to do God's will. We want that refiner's fire to burn up all the dross and all the mess and all the nonsense so that we can come forth as pure gold. Amen? Right, well, I want to get right into the word of the Lord this morning, and I want to call your attention to Acts chapter 16 is our key passage this morning. And we're now at the penultimate stop in our playlist of life series, and I certainly hope you've been challenged and inspired by this series. And we've been looking at familiar songs throughout the generations, and we're seeing how some of the lyrics of these songs have a lot of link and parallel even to the word of God. And this one is no different. We're looking at an old song by the group Queen, I Want to Break Free. I see someone breaking out in a song there. And we're looking at the parallel here of the story here in Acts chapter 16 from verse 16. I'm going to read several of the following verses, and it reads like this. Once when we were going to the place of prayer, we were met by a female slave, who had a spirit by which she predicted the future. She earned a great deal of money for her owners by fortune telling. And she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting. This is what she was shouting. These men are servants of the Most High God, who are telling you the way to be saved. And she kept this up for many days. Finally, Paul became so annoyed that he turned around and said to the Spirit, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. At that moment, the Spirit left her. But when her owners realized that their hope of making money was gone, they seized Paul and Silas, dragged them into the marketplace to face the authorities. And look what they say in verse, the B clause of verse 20. It says, these men are Jews and they are throwing our city into uproar. They're doing things that are not custom. They're unlawful for us as Romans to accept or to practice. I want to come back to our key verse, verse 18, once more. And the last clause there of that verse, it says, Paul said to the Spirit, he spoke to the Spirit that was keeping this woman bound. He spoke to the Spirit and he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, can we say that together? In the name of Jesus Christ, I command you to come out of her. Come out. Be set free. I want to break free. And at that moment, the Spirit left her. Friends, there's a little imaginary story told by a pastor and author, John Yates II. And he told an imaginary story of the devil, otherwise known as Satan or Lucifer, before he was evicted out of heaven. And he told this story about how the devil decided that he was going to have a boot sale. The devil was putting up for sale all of his most valued items, his most valued tools. So the devil strategically laid out all of his tools to sell to the world, and he priced them all up individually depending on the value of each tool. And John Yates suggests that the devil had a variety of different kinds of treacherous tools. They were all laid out for sale. Tools such as hatred and envy and jealousy and lying, and so on and so on and so on. However, laid apart from the rest of the tools was a tool that was classified as special and unique. This was a special kind of tool reserved by the devil. This tool in particular, it looked visibly worn than the rest of the tools. It was worse for wear than the rest of the other tools. And it was valued as the most expensive of all the other tools on offer from Satan's shop. And as one of the window shoppers went by and stopped to have a peek at this worse for wear expensive tool, the customer asked the question, sir, what is the name of this particular tool? And the devil replied, this is the tool of discouragement. This is the tool of discouragement. And the customer replied, okay, fair enough, but can you tell me why? Why is this tool of discouragement priced so high in comparison to all the other tools? And the devil's response was simply put, sure, I can tell you why it's priced so high than the others. Because discouragement is more useful to me than all the other tools. Because with the tool of discouragement, I can pry open in a person's heart. And with all the other tools on offer, with discouragement, I can really get to a person's heart. You see, it's so badly worn, it's worse for wear because I use it on almost everyone. Since so few people know that it belongs to me. And friends, when we think about breaking free, I want to break free, or finding liberation, being set free from the literal or metaphorical chains that are holding us back. When we think about finding freedom, we often think about the most obvious cases, such as really the examples here in Acts chapter 16. When you'll find Paul and Silas being thrown into prison. But I want to suggest this morning that such is the case, just like the devil's tools, that discouragement may have such a devastating effect on our lives, it grips fear within us. It causes us to be down. It causes us to be stuck in the mud, to exhibit fear and trepidation in our lives, that we no longer see ourselves through the lenses of how God sees us. But now we become passive. Now we say things like, I can't do that. I can't do this. I'm not good enough for that. That is the tool of discouragement. I can't achieve this. I can't become what God is calling me to be. But the question that I want to raise this morning is, whose report will we believe? Are we going to believe the report of the enemy and succumb to his tool of discouragement? Or are we going to believe the report of the Lord? I believe, just like the woman here in Acts chapter 16, that all of us can experience bouts of discouragement. And if we're not careful, discouragement can pierce our hearts and bring us to such a point that we no longer believe in ourselves. Or do we believe the good things that God desires for us? It's almost like a video that someone sent me a few months ago of a little girl who was pranked by her older siblings. Now, Farah's gone out. I hope she doesn't prank her little sister like this. But she was pranked by her older siblings because they made her to believe that she had in fact vanished. That she was no longer visible to her sisters and her friends anymore. So this little girl was frantically going around the house crying because her sisters, they pranked her. They made her believe that she no longer existed, that she vanished through thin air. And oh, was this little girl, she was so traumatic. She really believed that she had vanished. She was beside herself, frantically crying uncontrollably, all for the sake of a lie. And church, could it be this morning that you and I are dealing with some discouragement in our lives, bringing us down, making us to believe something that is not even in fact true or final? Could it be that the chief instigator and the architect of lies is trying to hold us back, trying to keep us bound and to hold us captive, to pull us away from the truth and the light of God's word? It's just like, to borrow the phrase of a famous politician whom I won't name, but he said, if you say it long enough and hard enough and often enough, people will start to believe it. Think about that. If you say it long enough and hard enough and often enough, even if it's not true, people will begin to believe in it. And friends, such is the case in our lives today. The devil's primary job is to feed us lies, to deceive us, to disturb our peace, to disrupt us, to infiltrate our lives in order for us to take our minds away from the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. And he wants us to get on his channel of bondage and fear. And church, in like manner, our focus song this morning in our series, it points, it alludes to this internal battle of the mind and the heart that desires and is looking for freedom. It's looking for liberation. In this 1984 hit song, the lyrics speak of that desire to be free. The desire to experience liberation from enslavement and domination. Look what Queen has to say. They say, I want to break free. I want to break free. I want to break free from your lies. You're so self-satisfied. I don't need you. I've got to break free. And then they say, God knows. God knows. I want to break free. And oh, how relevant, how fitting are these lyrics this morning? Because I believe there's someone here today that has that very same desire. Maybe in the corners of your mind, you're thinking this morning, I want to break free. I'm tired of the lies. I'm tired of the pretense. I'm tired of going through this continued cycle, round and around, over and over again. I need a transformation to take place in my life. I want a revival in my heart. I want my marriage to get back on track. I want my friendships to get back on track. I want my child to come back to the Lord Jesus and to serve him. I want to break free. And friends, right here in Acts chapter 16, right before us this morning, we are introduced to a girl. She is not named by Luke. But what we do know about this girl is that she was bound. There was a spirit within her in the region of Philippi that was causing this woman to be bound. It was holding her back from freedom. And as a result of this, I want to call your attention to the first stop here this morning, our first teaching point. We see through the life of this girl, who Luke calls the slave girl, we see, number one, the pursuit of freedom. Can we say that together? The pursuit. Yes. We see through this girl, just like in the words of the song from Queen, we see that she desired to break free. She wanted to break free from the lies. And you'll see in your sermon notes, there's a term that I want us to grasp this morning. It's exactly what this woman was experiencing. The term is called a stronghold. Can the church say stronghold? Stronghold. Now, what is a stronghold? Well, a stronghold is a place or a thing that has been fortified so as to protect it against attack. In other words, there is a hedge of protection around a place or a thing that stops anyone from coming in to attack whatever it's protecting. Now, after Anna and I got married, we spent our first few nights together at Leeds Castle. Some of you may have gone to Leeds Castle before. And one of the things that we learned by staying there for a few nights is we got to read some of the history about Leeds Castle. And one of the things we learned is that Leeds Castle was built with defense in mind. It was built with fortified walls, with strategic defense mechanisms in order to protect the castle from being invaded by those from the outside. It was there to protect the king from plots to overthrow them, so they would ensure that the castle was fortified. Well, church, such was the case right here for this young woman. The devil had created a foothold and a stronghold to keep this woman bound in her life. The stronghold was so strong that she was unable to experience the liberation and the freedom that comes through Jesus Christ. So as a result, she was now being used by the men in the region. They were taking advantage of her and using the spirit that was at work within her in order to profit of her situation. So now men were making money off her trauma. And oh, don't we see that repeated throughout life, even today? That some will even seek to profit over someone's lack of freedom. So this woman, but what I love about her, church, is although there was a stronghold in her life, and although this spirit was keeping her bound, she desired to break free. She pursued freedom. So when she saw Paul and Silas and company come into the region, there was something about Paul and Silas that was attractive to her. And it was not their physical appearance, but it was the spirit of Christ that was at work within the men. So she cried out to them non-stop, "These men, they show us the way of salvation. These men, they show us the way to be free. These men have something within them that I need in order for me to be set free." The pursuit of freedom. And church, I want to encourage each of us here today that in like manner, we too, if we desire freedom in our lives, just like the woman, we have to pursue freedom with an intensity and with passion. The question for us this morning is, how much do we want to be free? Are we prepared like the woman to stick out from the crowd and even be a nuisance if we desire freedom? She was such a nuisance to Paul that he got fed up and he said to the spirit, "You know what? I've had enough of this. You are driving me up the wall day after day, stopping me, telling me about this freedom malarkey. I've had enough of this. We're going to deal with this right now." It's interesting, when you read the previous verses that sets up this story, you'll know that Paul received a vision of a man in Macedonia instructing him to come and help. It was a man in the dream telling him, "Come and help us. Come over to Macedonia. Come and help us." And as I was reading this week, I was thinking, I don't know this for sure, but I was thinking, could it be that Paul was so caught up with the vision of this man saying, "Come and help," that perhaps he overlooked the woman at first because the vision he received was of a man saying, "Come and help." So could it be that he didn't want to deal with the woman straight away because this was not part of the plan? The vision said it was a man saying, "Come and help," but now this is a girl crying out for help. And could it be that Paul was saying, well, God, this doesn't match up to the plan that you told me. But I'm so glad that the woman was so persistent that she didn't care if it didn't fit the prerequisite in order for her to be dealt with. But she said, no, you need to stop and deal with me. How much do we want to be free? How much do we desire freedom? Even if we're being a nuisance to others. It's just like some years ago when I was the youth leader, some of you have heard this story before, I got myself in a real predicament, in a tent. We were staying at two of our members' homes in cottage, and we set up tents to sleep on the lawn, and I locked myself in a tent to go to sleep and woke up in the middle of the night and I needed to go to the toilet. But could I get out of the tent? And I was beginning to panic. All of a sudden it was like there was no air and I was becoming claustrophobic. And I'm thinking, I'm in a problem here. But then my pride got in the way. Because I was thinking in my mind, hold on a minute, you're the youth pastor. How's it going to look to these children, to these young people, and to all the other adult volunteers if I start crying out for help in the middle of the night? It's going to make me look weak. I don't want to look weak. But then it got to a point where I had no choice. And that's what pride will do to you. Because when you really need something, when you really desire freedom, it doesn't matter what anyone else thinks of you. When you really need help, you cry out, I need help. And that's exactly what I did. Help! And Kuda came running. And she helped me out of the tent. I love this woman because she didn't care what the people thought about her. In an era where patriarchal norms were the norm of the day, where women were viewed through a different lenses than today, but yet still she didn't let that get in her way. She desired freedom. Regardless of what they thought about her, she said, I want to break free. But second and finally, not only do we see the pursuit of freedom, her earnest desire to be free. Paul, stop. Silas, stop. You show us the way of salvation. You know the way to be saved. But we also see in this story, finally, the source of freedom. Can we say that together? The source of freedom. There's a story that made me laugh of a barber that thought that he should take his faith to the next level with his customers in his barbershop. And he wanted and he desired to share the gospel as he would give his customers a haircut. He was impressed on his heart that he should share the good news with his customers. To not only give them a nice haircut, but to also share the good news of Jesus with them. So the next morning when the sun came up and the barber got out of bed, he said to the Lord in prayer, today I am going to be a witness to the first person who walks through the door. So soon after he opened his shop, the first man came in and he said, I want a shave. So the barber went in the back and he prayed a very quick prayer. He said, God, the first customer has come in and I am going to witness to him. So give me the wisdom. Give me the right words to say to this man. Then quickly the barber came out from the back with a razor knife in one hand and the Bible in the other hand, while saying, good morning, sir, I have one question for you. Are you ready to die? Are you ready to die? Now, of course, as humorous as that may be, he really was telling the truth. Because in order for us to break free from the chains and the strongholds of the devil holding us back, then in order for us to break free, something has to die. Because we just spoke about how the devil uses a stronghold to put a barrier around someone's life so they can no longer see that they even need to be free. So in order for that stronghold to be removed from a person's life, something has to die. And right here in the story, I love this, because after Paul had enough of this woman coming day after day, he got right to the heart of the matter. He understood the source of this woman's freedom. And he said, in the name of Jesus Christ, the source. Make sense? Paul understood the source of this woman's freedom. Now the challenge is sometimes the devil may lead us into a force of pretense and into lies that he will lead us to different sources in order to find freedom. Sources that are not the true light. So sometimes people turn to temporary means and temporary methods of escape to numb the pain. But it doesn't solve the problem. It just prolongs the problem. But what I love about Paul here is he directs the woman's attention to the source of her freedom. And he says, in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, why is that important? Because Jesus is the saving name of our freedom. At the name of Jesus, we are saved. In fact, James lets us know that the demons believe there is one God and they tremble at his name. So if you want to get the devil's attention, then you invoke the authoritative name of Jesus. Because whenever we utter the words Jesus, we remind the enemy and we remind the devil of his pending fate. Because when Jesus died on Good Friday, the devil thought he won the battle, Martin. When he laid in Joseph's tomb, the devil thought that was enough of Jesus. But on Easter Sunday, when Jesus rose from the dead, now the name of Jesus has a whole new meaning. Because now there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen. So whenever we pray for someone in the name of Jesus, we're not praying to a dead savior and a dead teacher who lived 2,000 years ago. But when we pray for someone in the name of Jesus and we speak to that sickness, we speak to someone who is depressed and bound, we are speaking with the authority of God who is alive and well. Amen. So when Paul spoke to that woman and said, in the name of Jesus, something in that woman, it grabbed her attention. And the Bible lets us know that that very same hour, the Spirit came out of the woman. She was set free. Now, before we pray, I want to leave this with you, though, because this is important. We see throughout the Bible examples where Jesus would go up to people, touch them, or even in some cases just speak the word, and they were immediately set free. Immediately. In fact, Jesus had a real habit of doing that, especially when it came to delivering people from demons. Jesus didn't mess around with the demons. He just drove them out, just like that. But the Lord, in preparation this week, he wanted me to encourage you that sometimes being set free will not always be an instantaneous thing. Sometimes our deliverance will come through a process. You see, some people's testimonies, I've heard people testify before, and they say, you know, I used to do this in my former life before I met the Lord. I was involved in this, in all kind of stuff. And then I met Jesus, and then immediately, it's like he took the taste out of my mouth. Just like that. How many of you have heard testimonies of that before? Just like that. I was just transformed. Just like that. Hallelujah. That's great. But there are some cases, there are some occasions where it won't always be like that. But I want to encourage you, don't be discouraged if that's not your testimony. You may come to Christ and you are still struggling after you come to him. You may be still going through that process. But I want to encourage you, even if the deliverance is not instantaneous, don't give up on hope. Because God is with you. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, and through that process of sanctification, where we become like Christ through a process. And there may be moments where you may relapse. There may be moments where you will fail and get it wrong. But don't lose sight of the fact that Jesus Christ has indeed saved you from the penalty of sin. You may not feel everything is free in your life, but I want to encourage you that God has started that process. And you must never give up on him, whether he delivers you just like that, or whether it's a process, whether it's healing, where he touches someone and just like that, they're healed, or whether it's like that man who, when he touched him, he said, "What do you see?" And he said, I see men like trees. His vision wasn't completely cured just like that. It was a process. Whether it's instantaneous or a process, through the power of Jesus Christ, his desire for us is for us to be free. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gospel of freedom, for the gospel of liberation. We thank you that through Jesus Christ, that he conquered death, hell, and the grave. And as a result of that, we do not have to live bound by sin, because Jesus paid it all, and all to him we owe. Lord, I want to pray for someone here today that may feel as if they are bound. They may feel as if something is just keeping them back. Whether it's that tool of discouragement, whether it's something else that's just laying a hold and a foothold and a stronghold in their heart, I pray today that through the authority of the name of Jesus Christ, that, Lord, that you would just set them free, that they may walk in freedom and liberation. For this is your will concerning us. Lord, I pray for anyone who has not yet come to saving faith in Jesus Christ. I pray that just like you did for this woman here in Acts chapter 16, who proclaimed that these men, they show us the way of salvation. Thank you that in like manner, we too have that way. We know the way to be saved, that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And we pray that as we come to him now, that he would set us free from anything that is holding us back. So come now, Lord, through your Holy Spirit. Break the chains. Break the chains. For there is power in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. As the worship team come back, This was not in the plan, but I want us to sing this a few times before they lead us as we close. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. Let's say that a few times. There is power in the name of Jesus. Yes. There is power in the name. There is power. There is power in the name. To do what? To break? To break every chain. Break every chain. Break every chain. Come on, let's say that as a prayer this morning. There is power. There is power in the name. There is power. There is power in the name. Yes. Whatever is holding you back, there is power. Yes. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's an army. There's an army rising up. Yes. There's an army. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to break every chain, to break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. Just one more time. There's power in the name. There is power. Yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus.
There is power. There is power in the name. There is power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. To break every chain. Break every chain. I want to offer the invitation now to discipleship. The invitation to Christ. The gospel has gone forth. And I believe that the Lord is tugging on someone's heart this morning. It's time to break free. It's time to break free. You know the Lord's been speaking to you. He's been getting your attention. It's time to break free. Is there one here today that wants to raise their hand in faith to say, I want to break free. I want to know the Lord Jesus for myself. I want to walk in his way. I want to experience the liberation and the freedom that comes through knowing Jesus Christ. Is there one today that wants to know Jesus Christ? Is there one today that wants to be baptized? You're not yet baptized and you want to make that decision today that you want to be baptized. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Amen. Bradley, God bless. Let's give God praise for Bradley. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Great decision, Bradley. I want to break free. As the worship team lead us, and Bradley, please speak to me after the service, and we'll talk about your baptism. God bless you.
The important thing is we don't keep this to ourselves. We go forth and tell. And we're going to end with singing just that.
Oh,
Amen. To God be the glory. So as we go forth and tell, we tell the message of freedom, the message of liberation, that through Jesus Christ we can be set free. Amen. Amen. Please do join us in the lounge for teas and coffees, and please do greet the family of Baby Tallulah on Baby Tallulah's special day. Receive now the benediction as we go. And now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore. Amen. Amen. God bless you all.